Saddle up, partner.
This is the Voices of the West.
Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
We are certainly down with that. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander. Todd Roberts is in the Los Angeles area. Bunker de France is playing cowboy down at the Empire Ranch for their cowboy festival. And so it's just me and Todd to clean up every damn thing. Todd, are you there?
Howdy. I'm here. Howdy. Howdy and howdy again.
Indeed.
I had to give three howdies today because, Bunker's not there, so I have to give extra howdy.
Yeah, right.
We're going to, we're missing Bunker only in voice, but not in spirit.
No, of course not. Since he's not with us, we won't be doing any of Bunker's Bunkhouse and whatever else the hell it is. I can never remember.
The bovine milkshake?
Yes. I can't.
Perfect.
We won't be bothering with that, or not bothering with it. It's not a bother. It's entertaining, actually. And, so he has a way of doing that that... I don't think either of us could accomplish well.
No. I'm not even going near it.
No. So, and there's Gilly. Was that Gilly? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Gilly. Shh. I'm here at Nola's.
Yeah.
And he sees things outside.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sees certain people and dogs he likes and certain people and dogs he doesn't like.
Yeah.
So, he'll voice his opinion about them.
Well.
It's kind of like me after too many drinks. Perfect.
All right. Well, in any event, we're just going to sit around and shoot the breeze here this afternoon. And... not a whole lot going on, to be honest with you. I guess. I'm not sure. Anyway, we watched every Friday night. My lovely wife and I attempt to watch some Westerns, and it's getting to be a difficult thing because we're B-movie fans, and there just aren't many B's left for us to watch. So we've gone to the more modern day Westerns and a couple of those and Silence. And we watched one last night, Nevada from 1927. It's a Zane Grey story, so you know it has to be good. It stars Gary Cooper and Thelma Todd and William Powell. And Ernie S. Adams is Gary Cooper's sidekick, if you will. And it's really, really good. You can see what was to come with Gary Cooper. This is one of his early movies. But you could see what's going to come, when you tune into Sergeant York or any of the other Gary Cooper movies that are great,
Well, that same year, he has a small but very powerful part in Wings, the yes. first film ever to win Best Picture.
William Wyler.
Directed by William Wellman, yeah. Who had flown in the French Air Force
yeah.
in World War I, so he was... taking directly from his own experiences.
That's what makes that movie so much more enjoyable, is knowing that history, because you know that he wants it to be done correctly. And I don't know of any biplane pilots that would not do it correctly, but there's some barnstormers out there, but still.
Well, yeah, and he also he had seen a lot of death in his life there. So that's why when you see other Wellman films like Oxbow Incident, you know, it's real, and because it deals with the lynching, and you know, of course, Henry Fonda and Harry Morgan, the great Harry Morgan, and so many others are in that film. But it's a powerful film. It's beautifully photographed in black and white. And when we had his son on the show, who was an actor himself, he was, you know, he talked about all that and how, you know, his dad put his heart into his films. He wasn't going for the artistic view of it as much as he was going in for the what he felt mm-hmm. in his experiences and so on.
Yeah.
But you can see Cooper, you can see those eyes,
mm-hmm.
And that impeccable riding, the way he sits a horse.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because he was the real deal, and you know, he had an injury, which made him. Sit a horse differently than everybody else, but he sat the horse in such a way that he didn't feel it didn't aggravate his injury,
mm-hmm.
So it made it easier for him, and that's what makes it so real. When he rides, he looks like he's just gliding along. He's not holding on for dear life, you know, with the look of fear
mm-hmm.
In his eyes, mm-hmm. as you know, like so many other dime store cowboys we see in the movies.
Sure.
You know, but it's definitely a great film. Catch it if you can.
Indeed. It's a public domain film, so you can find it at the places where you find public domain movies, and that would be not the Wayback Machine. Let me find them here. I got them here. Internet Archive is where you can find it. I found it on the YouTube, so if I found it, you can too. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Tonight mm-hmm. we're going to watch a movie, the Far Country, Jimmy Stewart. And Todd, you were when I told you this earlier, you didn't go apoplectic, but you wished you were going to be here with us tonight.
Yes, I did. You know, this is just Jimmy Stewart and Anthony Mann. You know, they made some great westerns together. Of course, Anthony Mann had spent a lot of time in the 40s directing great film noir. And when Universal wanted him to pivot and start doing westerns, he said, fine, but I'm doing them as film noir.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see The Naked Spur, or Winchester 73, or this, or, you know, Bend to the River, Night Passage. These show Jimmy Stewart not as the guy that you fall in love with in Shop Around the Corner, or It's a Wonderful Life, or Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where he's naive and
mm-hmm.
he's kind of pure and so on.
Or
Harvey, sure, where he, you know, this is a Jimmy Stewart that is very, very wise to the world, has seen the dark underbelly, has tried his best not to be soured or bitter, but he's very aware of it, and he doesn't let it take advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great film. John McIntyre is so good. And as is Cubby Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Wilkie, of course, one of our Hall of Fame bad guys of all
mm-hmm.
time,
mm-hmm.
is just so good as well. And Alan Corby, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I think it might be Ruth Roman.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but it's a great... And, of course, Walter Brennan. The whole film is good. Harry Morgan is in it. You're going to see a lot of familiar faces. If you watch Westerns, television or film, you're going to see a lot of familiar faces.
Yeah.
It's a fun film, and it's basically... And anybody who tells me that Anthony, that these aren't film noir, I would say that you're wrong, because this is the story of a crime syndicate paying, you're paying them protection to leave that town and go farther north. And you have to pay for it by buying, you have to buy 100 pounds of food.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, if you only have $90 worth of food, they don't let you leave town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting film. A lot of interesting dynamics there.
Yeah, Royal.
So I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, Royal Dano's in it. Jack Elam's in it.
Oh, yeah, Jack Elam, Royal Dano.
And you were correct. It's Ruth Roman. Stars as
Oh,
Rhonda.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woof, woof. and, you know, you've got a lot of, it's beautifully shot, and it's, everyone is cast properly, and it's just a really well-made film.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. While we're talking about that, let's talk about what it, all the logistics that it takes to put together a Western movie. Is I'm sure it must take pretty much the same kind of logistics for any other movie, but I'm guessing it's going to be a lot more with the Western because of the livestock that are involved.
Absolutely. You've got to have horse wranglers, you got to have stunt people, you got to have if there's cattle, you got to have cattle wranglers or true cowboys herding them, or whatever the livestock is. And in a lot of ways, that's why I love Westerns, or I love period films about the frontier, or whatever the case may be, when there's animals, especially horses, dogs, sheep, mm-hmm. cattle, pigs, whatever. Because it adds an air of authenticity that other films don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch a normal film that's period, all the actors are aware that they're playing, instead of playing house, they're playing the past.
Mm-hmm.
The animals don't have that consciousness. They're acting the same way that their ancestors did at that same time. If you're a horse, you're being ridden, and you're moving these cattle. Your great-great-grandfather horse was doing the same thing to that cow's great-great-great-great-cow grandmother.
Yep.
And there's nothing different about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, it's not as hard as it was back then, and it's not as dangerous, but it's still dangerous enough. Let's remember that in Monty Walsh, the stuntman who rode the roan through the famous scene where he busts up the town.
Uh-huh.
The horse fell into the LA River, which is cement. The stuntman, I think, broke his arm, and the horse broke his leg, and the horse had to be put down. So these things happen. I know it's not a Western, but I look at it as a Western. When people always talk about, oh, the movies are so fake and so forth. If we remember the opening scene to Raiders of the Lost Ark after Harrison Ford has, you know, he gets the idol.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Molina won't give him the whip unless he gives him the idol. He gives him the idol. He drops the whip. He says, adios, senor. And then, of course, Harrison Ford jumps over the big opening, that death drop.
Yep.
Gets himself out, finds Alfred Molina dead from another booby trap.
Hmm.
And then here comes this great shot of Harrison Ford, you know, like, ooh, boy, I'm clear. I'm out of here.
Hmm.
And you all of a sudden notice this really large round sphere behind Harrison Ford, and his motion or his walking sets that thing in motion after he's passed it. Mm-hmm. So now it's chasing him. In the film, the character, if people say, oh, why didn't he let it go first? Then he'd never get out of the tunnel. He dies of starvation because it plugs the tunnel.
Right.
But if he's out in front of it, it's made to run him over.
Mm-hmm.
But people say, oh, well, you know, things are fake. Hollywood's all fake. That sphere weighed 500 pounds.
Goodness.
It was made of plaster, and they painted it a very thick coats of paint, so you wouldn't think that it was anything other than a rounded sphere of stone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 500 pounds, and if he had have tripped, that being Harrison Ford running out to the entrance of the cave, if he had have tripped, that thing would have run him over and he'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So not always are the movies totally fake.
No.
And that's an example.
Well, there are many other examples, and Bunker has talked about that many times, where stuntmen get injured doing a fall from the horse, or, you know, they get trampled or whatever. I mean, you know, stuff happens. You know?
Yeah, I mean, stuntmen are no different than we look at any other athletes, especially football players. I mean, the great Jim Otto, who was the center for the Oakland Raiders, he's, I think, passed now, but, you know, it took him 20 minutes to get out of bed every day.
Jeez.
I mean, he had to do a set of stretching exercises, calisthenics, and so on, for him to get out of bed. And then he got out of bed, and he was on the floor.
Jeez.
So between getting out of bed and then getting up off the floor was 20 minutes from start to finish.
Glad I chose radio as a career instead of football.
Well, yes, thank goodness. As Emil said, the founder of our show, kid, you got a great face for radio.
There you go. And on that note, we're going to take our very first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFranco, well, Bunker's not with us. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Bunker is down at the Empire Ranch playing cowboy. We'll be back with much more of our program right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
You're Frank Gordon, eh?
Any crime in that?
Yes, there is. When that afternoon train comes through here for the East, You're going to be on it. Oh, no.
I don't like trains. They make me seasick.
You're going to be more than seasick if you don't take my advice. You ain't wanted in these parts. Folks are sure friendly around here, ain't you?
This is the Voices of the West.
He's a barstool cowboy from old Barstow, and the barroom is his range. His hitching post is the old brass rail, and he'll rustle a drink with your change. Oh, his horse is wry, and he sure rides high when he gets a drink or two. He's a barstool cowboy from old Barstow, and his brand is an I.O.U.
And that's for Todd and I.
How true.
Spike Jones and the band there, Barstool Cowboy. Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander with you, and Todd Roberts is as well. He's in the Los Angeles area. Bunker de France is playing cowboy down in at the Empire Ranch. And we're just doing whatever the hell we feel like we're going to do today. I was looking through the public domain listings of Western movies, and there's bunches of them, by golly. Here's one that's a good one. It's been made many times, Wild Horse Mesa. The first one is was done in 1925, stars Jack Holt, and his son Tim Holt did a remake on that. 1940s, something of that nature. Some really good stuff here. Santa Fe Trail, Ronald Reagan, Errol Flynn, and Olivia de Havilland. That is a damn good movie.
Absolutely.
You know, so we got the Cowboy Millionaire, who was in that. George O'Brien was in that one. That's another good one. And of course, The Iron Horse. I mean, you can't get more John Ford than that, I don't think.
No.
Just some good stuff there. It's publicdomainmovies.info, and you can find all kinds of various movies that are in the public domain that you can download, I imagine, and watch them at your convenience. So
at your leisure.
At your leisure. I'm going to try something here, see if it's going to work. You know how we are on technology. We don't adhere. We don't adhere to it very much. We're going to try and open up the phone line here and see if anybody would like to shoot the breeze with us, shoot the cow chips, as it were. 520-487-1877. 520-487-1877 is the phone number. If you'd like to partake in our discussion, got a question or whatever the case may be, requests we do not take, but we can probably answer just about any question, including...
Well, we didn't bring our instruments.
No, but we can answer almost any question, including if a train leaves Chicago. I hate that math problem.
How far will it get with the amount of bourbon it starts out with?
See,
probably
well,
no far.
That's a variation of that. So we were talking about the logistics of making a Western movie, and Todd, your dad did it, and from what you say, that was the last one he was going to do.
Well, as he used to say, he said it's making the film is the toughest thing there is to accomplish. He was not saying that what he did was important. He wasn't curing cancer, and he wasn't performing surgery on mm-hmm. children,
right?
Or putting out fires in buildings or saving people from bad guys. But he said this is the most difficult thing to accomplish. Is making a film, because basically everyone, from the beginning, everyone's out to say no, number one. Number two, you're doing something that only you, the producer, have more faith in this project than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in Hollywood's walking around with a project. They have faith in their projects,
mm-hmm.
They have a passion to get their project made. Only you have the passion to get your project made. Hmm. And then you got to go out and get someone to say, yeah, I like your project, let's make it. So now you're asking them to give up a little bit of their time and their faith and their project and give some of it to you. You don't ask for everything, because you get a little bit from this one and a little bit from that one.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you have enough to match yours in entirety and then go make it. But, you know, my dad used to say all the time that in Hollywood, is a very strange town. First of all, there are these rules, but you're not allowed to talk about them. One of the rules, and so in other words, there are these rules, you're not aware of them, so you don't know you can't talk about them, and talking about them is one of the rules. So talking about the rules is you're breaking one of the rules.
It's like Fight Club.
Yeah, it's Fight Club. It's the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
It's where do you find out where the rules are is one of the rules that you're breaking.
Yeah.
Any of these offenses get you thrown out, can get you blackballed. Making fun of the rules is another one that can get you in trouble. And by the way, none of these rules are written down, and nobody in Hollywood says there are rules, but there obviously are, because people are all, you know, one day they're doing fine and so on, and the next day, you know, they can't catch a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it works. But my dad used to say that Hollywood's a very strange place, because it's it's a very strange place because nothing is as it appears, and so yes means no, maybe means
no.
We don't know, but we're not gonna say yes or no.
Uh-huh.
We think we kind of maybe like it. We don't know. And then no means yes, but they say no to see how much commitment and passion you have for your project.
Sure.
And I would say to my dad, so why don't they, when they say yes and they mean no, why don't they just say no?
It's a game.
So, and he said, Todd, they say yes, so you leave.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
Yeah.
So somebody gave my dad a beautifully red leather bound book, and it had gold gild on the pages,
mm-hmm.
and beautiful lettering on the spine and gold that said how to get into show business or how to succeed in show business.
Okay.
Something to that effect. And you open up the book and it's all in Chinese.
Okay. What drew him to want to produce Monty Walsh?
He wanted to produce Monty Walsh because he really wanted, really very much wanted to work with Lee Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out Lee Marvin really, really loved the book,
mm-hmm.
by Jack Schaefer. And he thought, well, if I can secure that book, then I can get Lee interested, as opposed to going out and getting something different.
Mm-hmm.
He already had half the battle won, theoretically, with Lee, if he had that novel, which Lee really wanted to make that.
Mm-hmm.
So Lee loved Westerns, but he especially liked that story. And he found that out from a close confidant of Lee's, and he one of the things he found out in that conversation was that Lee liked the story. You know, it was written by Jack Schaefer, of course, who wrote Shane. But mm-hmm. the other thing is that the character's, Lee's father's name was Monty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It had a Y on the end as opposed to Monty Walsh's an E.
Mm-hmm.
But he, I think my dad felt like that was Lee connecting with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
This is half the battle. Let's choose the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And he did, and he got lucky.
Yeah, I guess lucky is the word. I mean, sometimes things just don't work out. The project has to get shelved until next year or many years after and so forth, or gets bombed completely. So, yeah, I guess he got lucky with that one, huh?
Well, sometimes, they make a film, and on paper it looks really great. This thing is really going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out to be, as my dad would say, not just a dog, but a dead dog. And I think a great example of that is Hallelujah Trail with Burt Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, all the cast and the people involved and the director and the writer, John Sturges, and this is a perfect formula for a great, successful film. And, boy, it just fell as flat as a pancake.
And that's at the box office, so there's no figuring what the public really wants, is my guess.
Well, I think the public is, first of all, the public is fickle,
mm-hmm.
in general. Part of the public is looking for somebody to tell them what they want to watch, and the other half of the public is looking for what they want to watch, and mm-hmm. they're not interested in what anybody has to say. So you can't clock the public.
Mm.
You think you can, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have someone who's really successful and is on a roll, you might be able to clock them. I think it was easier back in the day than it is today. But nonetheless, I think that it's like trying to predict the weather.
Yeah, good luck with that. And on that note, we're going to take our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Todd Roberts with you in the Los Angeles area. I'm in Tucson. Bunker to France at the Empire Ranch down in Sonoyta. We'll be right back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Maybe you didn't understand me, young fellow, when I told you to get out of town yesterday. I'm going to try and make myself clearer. Now you get out and stay out.
Well, where am I going to go? I ain't got a job.
Well, that ain't my worry. Now get out.
What have you got against me, mister?
Oh, nothing in particular. And everything in general. Now get.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander with you. Todd Roberts in the Los Angeles area, Bunker de France, playing cowboy down at the Empire Ranch for their Cowboy Fest. And, you know, that clip of Harry Carey, Todd, is, I can't get enough of his movies. Silence or Talkies. I mean, the guy is just really something else.
Well, he just...
He's a presence.
He really delivers things so well. And he just... You know, people always say that he so influenced John Wayne, which he did. But I also find his... there's a lot in Gary Cooper's delivery that I feel stems out of Harry Carey Sr.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of an honest... of course, his voice has a lot to do with his delivery.
Sure.
That gravel voice, but those eyes and his stance, he's real. And
he's like like William S. Hart.
Very much. Yeah. Very much like William S. Hart, too, otherwise known as Two Gun Bill, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But there was a little more down-to-earthness to Harry Carey Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Bill was a little bit more... There's a lot more flash to Bill. He was a little bit of a, striking a pose and a little bit more of the good swashbuckler almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was kind of a debonair look to him, and you know, he was kind of fearless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Harry Carey Sr. is the kind of guy, you know, whether or not it's you don't get a bad performance, whether it's Angel and the Bad Man or The Spoilers or any of the others. He gives you everything he's got. He doesn't leave it. He doesn't leave anything behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I happened to find on one of my streaming services a program that I used to watch a lot on another streaming service, but they took it away. And that that program is called Top Shot. And contestants, they gather to see who's the best shot, and you win prizes and all kinds of stuff. And they have to shoot a variety of different weapons, from handguns to rifles to bows and arrow to crossbow, grenades, those kinds of things. And this one particular episode I saw was they had to do shoot from the hip, and the firearm that was chosen was the Schofield. Now, I think that is one fine-looking firearm, that Schofield. I love the break on it. Looks like it's really easy to reload, only 5 shots, but
yes,
the original. But the repos, you can find them in 6 shot. Anyway, what's your thoughts on that? Did you ever use one in cowboy action shooting?
I've never used it in cowboy action shooting, but I have fired them. Because I've known some shooters who have them, but I've never used it in competition. But I've always liked that weapon. Obviously, it is, it's a weapon that a lot of people liked.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse James carried one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously it's quick to eject and quick to load. And, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. The one that the Autry has is not Wyatt Earp's. He never owned it. It's Virgil Earp's. He never used it to fire it. It was a present from his wife, from Allie, and they didn't carry them because they like the buffalo people, and you hit the person over the head. Well,
right.
If you hit them over the head enough times, that mechanism is start to get loose and wears out, and at the wrong moment, and Murphy's Law, we can always depend on
sure
to happen at the worst opportune moment possible and pop open on you and you're in trouble.
You know, speaking of the Wyatt Earp gun, remember at the gun show that we went to, they had a bunt line there.
Yeah.
And I that's Wyatt Earp's gun. No, it wasn't really.
Ned Buntline created that whole story. They've never been able to find his bunt line. It's more of an urban legend, urban myth. You know, there's even some question whether or not the shield that's on the grip was mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. Some people say it was. Some people say it was on a pocket watch. it wasn't on a gun. I, though, being an Erpy, which I fully admit and come fully transparent forth bare-chested, mm-hmm. That I have that shield on both of my single actions.
All right.
My dog's name was Wyatt, was Doc, and my son's name is Wyatt. So I think everyone kind of gets the drift here sure. of the way I'm going and yeah. my thought process. So, yes, you know, it's a great story, but you and I both know the West is full of stories. That's the whole part.
Print the legend.
Whole point is, well, yeah, and people... People in the West, they gave themselves nicknames. They reinvented themselves. They, you know, they made themselves who they wanted to be, not who they necessarily were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of felt like, well, this is the way I was born, but who I've always rightly wanted to be was this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that. I mean, you know, not love... Nobody knew Nat Love's name. Nat Love was known as Deadeye Dick.
Mm.
You know, Wild Bill Hickok's real name was James Butler Hickok.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people reinvented themselves based on, you know, whether or not they were trying to forget their past, run from their past, or... Their past was boring, so let me reinvent myself, or whatever the case may be.
When we lived in Key West, that was a familiar theme. You never asked anybody that you met, where are you from? What'd you do? Because, well, that just wasn't that wasn't kosher, you know?
Was not polite.
Yeah, you know, it's this person is who they are right now, and deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
We had stockbrokers who made Key West their home that got fed up with New York, came down to the island and set up shop, and they painted. And this one guy was very, very successful in painting bicycles and cars and anything else that people wanted painted. And he had, you know, he's a great artist. And... happy as a clam living down there, doing what he does instead of the rat race of New York City.
Well, I don't think that, you know, why wouldn't someone be happier? It's kind of like saying, you know, I moved to Hawaii and I'm miserable. Well, you're obviously not drinking enough rum.
Or Mai Tais or whatever.
Or you know, you haven't figured out where
yeah.
you are.
Yeah, yeah.
But the same thing goes in, you know, for a lot of people. Now, a lot of people couldn't run from their past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robert Ford thought he could run from his past, the notoriety, and mm-hmm. all the money he had made after he was a back shooter mm-hmm. of Jesse James, took that money and went out and opened a bar. Out in Colorado, and one day a patron walked in with a double-barreled shotgun and said off his shoulder, almost from behind, "Howdy, Bob," and he turned around and cut him in half.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, same thing happened to John Wesley Harden. He went to jail, got a law degree, came out, and, you know, John Selman or Dallas Stoudemire, I forget which one, I apologize.
I think it was Stoudemire.
Yeah, saw him in a bar and didn't even let him turn around. Shot him out of the back of the head and it came out his eye.
Yeah, in El Paso.
In El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, enough of what he had said in years past, which was, you know, I don't like lawmen and, you know, there's certain ones I'm I have more prejudice against than others, and I guess Dallas Stoudemire was not interested in finding out.
He didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care, and he was acquitted. Curly Bill Brocious and Johnny Ringo left Texas, because they were part of the Hoodoo Voodoo War, and the judge gave them an option. You either go to prison or leave the state and never come back.
Yep.
So Billy the Kid had the option. He left New Mexico and went to Arizona for a while. Mm-hmm. He should have stayed there.
He should have.
I don't understand why he came back, but he did.
Well, he got fired. He got fired from his job as a ranch hand in the Wilcox area because he wasn't any good at it.
Well, he was not a great cowboy. He mm-hmm. was he could ride and he could rope and he could rustle cattle mm-hmm. or herd cattle, mm-hmm. but he wasn't up to par with other great cowboys. Mm-hmm. But he should have stayed. He could have lived a much longer life.
Probably so. No doubt. All right, what else we want to deal with?
I don't know, Harry. I mean, I know that the cardinal sin in radio is silence.
Yeah, dead air.
Dead air and so on. But I think that you've got some Westerns maybe coming out. I've seen some advertisements, and I think that that gives us something to look forward to, a little bit of carrot on the end of the stick. Hopefully they're up to par. And this new, part two for Kevin Costner's Western series is something. And there is Taylor Sheridan has come up with another series as an offshoot of Yellowstone called Yellowstone Wardens, which is about the one son of John Dutton, who was a livestock warden, livestock officer, marshal. And so they were running around chasing bad guys in Montana, which could be interesting. I think that Landman is coming back for a second season. Mm-hmm. Dark Winds is about to start for the fourth season. We've got a lot of Westerns that we have access that are out there that you can watch if you're, bored watching, the Real Housewives of El Monte. So, or wherever it is that they're tuning into.
My understanding is that there's talk of a new Longmire or an extension of Longmire television series with the same characters.
Yes, they talked about bringing Longmire back. I've read that. There's that rumor, we're also, you're going to have a lot more Westerns coming out of Taylor Sheridan because he has, he's going to allow his contract with Paramount, which is CBS, which is Viacom, to run out, and then he's moving over to Comcast NBC Universal, and he's going to be doing features out of there. Now, they might be present-day Westerns, they might be period Westerns, they might be both, but I think there's a lot more that is that's ready to come out of that typewriter. So
excellent.
Look forward to it.
Indeed. All right. We're going to take our final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander with you. Bunker de France down in Sonoyta playing cowboy. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda, That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Hey, you, give me another drink before the fight starts.
Say, wait a minute. When is this fight going to start?
When you find out I can't pay for these drinks.
This is the Voices of the West.
La mucureta en el suelo, mamá, no puedo con ella. Me la llevo en la cabeza y mamá, no puedo con ella.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Todd Roberts with you. Bunker de France down in Sonoyta, playing cowboy at the Empire Ranch, and the tunes of the Great Texas Tornadoes featuring Freddie Fender. And Todd, I know you've seen Freddie before in concert, right?
Well, I've always loved the Texas Tornadoes. My favorite song is Uno Más Cerveza.
Yeah, right.
And my second favorite song is Hey, I thought I was your only vato.
Yeah.
Just a great band, a lot of sense of humor, great music, truly masterful musicians, and
My wife and I saw them at some little bar on the west side of Tucson. And my God, they were great. You know,
mm-hmm.
Doug Sam, formerly the name is gone now. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Doug Sam was in that. Freddie Fender, bunches of other guys. Good stuff. And Doug is gone now. Doug Sam is gone now, and I believe his son has replaced him, taking over the keyboards and whatnot. Anywho, We are back on the program, and we're trying to clean up the range here. Not doing very good because our broom isn't big enough. And so there you go.
Well, you know, I think it also yeah, the broom's not big enough, and the other problem is that, you know, why grab a broom when you can grab a bottle of bourbon?
See, there you go. Plus, our other cohort isn't with us because he'd be running the damn broom.
Well, that's because he's always been trying to find a woman in his life who rode one. You know, just saying, Jeff, call me crazy, but I'm just... Let me reach out and venture to the far extent of the galaxy.
Oh my God!
Perfect.
Yeah. You know, I really don't have anything else going on around the West that I can think of, Western movies or not. Some good stuff out there. Encourage everybody to watch them. And, you know, if you're looking to watch a Western for the very, 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 very first time, try The Lone Ranger, because that's just too good. And those are streaming all over the place. And you can watch the episodes in order or out of order or whatever. It'll have both Clayton Moore and John Hart in there. It's good stories. It's a half hour, and it's a ton of fun. Plus, you'll see bunches of heavies that played in the B movies in the 30s and 40s, getting a second life there. So,
well, yeah, you know, I think that's the beauty of the West. There's a lot of different ways that you can find yourself part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember once I was sitting with some people, and the wife had grown up in Wyoming, and her dad and all his brothers were cowboys all their lives, and she had been a cowgirl, and her sister was a cowgirl all of their lives, and my buddy was his wife, and he was a cowboy, and we had been working. I know it sounds strange for me to apply any physical effort to anything, but he and I had been out working, and we came back, and she, I guess, was trying to sell a horse or a saddle or something, and I forget exactly what it was, and she's, you know, I looked at him as a real cowboy with a cowboy hat and boots on, and she said, I think I sold the saddle. He said, you did? And she said, yeah, this fella came over and he was really interested, and he's got some of the money put together, and he's going to go put the rest of it. And he is a real cowboy. And he, Harry, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And he said, he was a real cowboy too. And she didn't skip a beat. She said, he was a real cowboy. Mm-hmm. Had on a tractor cap, a T-shirt, and work boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, cowboys have cowboy hats on and and a buck knife. But for her experience, growing up in Wyoming, that's, you know, mm-hmm. everyday working cowboy, that's how they dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see this a lot, like on Yellowstone, and you've seen it on Landman. Somebody says, oh, I'm a cowboy. And then somebody else, some other character goes, no, you're not. Only to be a cowboy, you got to work cattle. Well, that might be true, if you want to call yourselves, let's split some hairs. But that's what you get to call yourself, that as a working cowboy.
Sure.
If you do that. But
yeah.
I think you can be a cowboy based on who you, well, what you have in your heart,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, your belief system, and, you know, by number one, being respectful, number two, pulling your own weight, number three, not being asked to help, number four, being respectful, addressing another male as sir or mm-hmm. a woman as ma'am, even if they're younger than mm-hmm. you. Just look up Gene Autry's Code of the Cowboy.
And there you go.
And if you abide by those, I think you're a cowboy. Now, for there are those who were, that's not a cowboy. Well, no, you're talking about a working cowboy, and mm-hmm. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand you're stuck on that for certain fellas out there, or women. I get it, but if the cowboy only is going to survive because of working cowboys, or the West is only going to survive by the number of working cowboys, I fear for the future of the West or the cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a lot. My experience is that it's a lot more inclusive than that, than what we just see as who's working or riding a horse every day.
Totally agree. And we are plumb out of time, my friend.
Okay, then.
We managed to do it.
Well,
Don't tell DeFrance.
No, we're not going to tell him anything. In fact, when he says, I looked on the site to listen to the show, I can't find it. We didn't post it.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
You forgot to record it.
You post it under a different date and a different title, Harry. We don't want him to listen to it.
I hear you.
So,
All right. Thank you so much, Todd, for joining us. And
take care.
You bet. Harry Alexander and Todd Roberts, thank you so much for listening. Bunker to France playing cowboy down at the Empire Ranch Foundation cowboy get-together. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.